It's a good day, it's a good, good day. Can't wait to go to school. It's a good day, it's a good, good day. I'm on my way to school. I'll see my teachers and my friends. We'll explore and learn again. It's a good day, it's a good, good day. Can't wait to go to school. It's a good day, it's a good, good day. Can't wait to go to school. It's a good day, it's a good, good day. I'm on my way to school. I'll see my teachers and my friends. We'll explore and learn again. It's a good day, it's a good, good day. Can't wait to go to school. It's a good day, it's a good, good day. Can't wait to go to school.
Well, hi, everyone. It's Charlie here in this podcast space. Or some of you might know me again as Miss Charlie Montessori or even Miss Lily. I'm so excited to welcome you guys back again to continue our conversation about Montessori philosophy, and I hope you're ready to just dive back in because there's so much that we can chat about. And I really want to thank all of you who are supporting me out there. It means so much. We as Montessori educators are a network, a family, a community, so many beautiful words that we can use to describe us all, Montessorians. And your kind words mean so much to me, so thank you. I'm excited to bring you back here for the second episode of my podcast, In Perfect Balance, Conversations at the Heart of Montessori's Learning Triangle. I have a lot more reflections to share with you on Montessori philosophy, on the learning triangle, and the start of the school year. And I hope that the last episode gave you something to think about and maybe even sparked some conversations with your fellow educators or family members or parents or adult friends. That's always my goal, to inspire dialogue, because yes, I do love talking, but also because it's through conversation and connection that we truly grow, both as individuals and as a community. So in Montessori, we often talk about the learning triangle. And that's the child, the prepared environment, and the adult. In my earlier episode, we had focused on the child, on their needs, their development, and really how to prepare them in the days leading up to the start of the school year. But today, we're shifting our focus to another essential point of that triangle, the adult. Because just as the child needs support and preparation, so does the adult. And when the start of the school year comes around, it's so easy for all of our energy to go toward the children. We're wondering if they'll make friends, if they'll like their teacher, if they'll adjust to the new schedule, if they'll thrive in their lessons, if. There's so much that, yes, we can do to prepare them, but ultimately we can only offer our best when we ourselves are prepared, emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. It's the same principle as the oxygen mask on an airplane. You must put yours on first before helping others. So in this episode, we're talking about us, the teachers, the parents, the guardians, the assistants, the adults, anyone who plays the role of the prepared adult. We will look at what it means to give ourselves the space, the time, the care that we need, so that when we step into the classroom or the learning space, our batteries are full, our minds are clear, and we can truly be present for the children. Because again, I believe that's what it's all about, the children. When we think about the adult in relation to Montessori philosophy, or even education in general, it's often through the lens of a power dynamic with the child. We picture the adult helping, teaching, guiding, supporting the child. Some of us might even think of the old school dynamic with the teacher standing at the front of the classroom teaching the child in that sense. What I've loved about my own journey with Montessori philosophy, however, is that Dr. Maria Montessori herself sometimes took the adult completely out of the context of the child. She asked us to look at the adult on their own, independent of their role with children. Montessori once wrote, "The real preparation for education is the study of oneself. The training of the teacher who is to help life is something far more than the learning of ideas. It includes the training of character. It is a preparation of the spirit." She's not the first one to say this. There are many people out there who have encouraged the idea of the adult having to reflect, to honor themselves, to connect deeper with their inner sense of self in order to truly provide the best type of education or connection with the child. But I have always loved the way that Montessori spoke of it in terms of a preparation of the spirit. When I read about this, it's a reminder that before we step into the classroom, before we prepare an environment, before we interact with a single child, we must turn inward. The real work begins with ourselves, our mindset, our energy, our sense of purpose. And so if I had to name the theme for preparing ourselves as adults, I'd call it this: being intentional. Intentional about how we use our time. Intentional about how we protect our energy. Intentional about how we enter the space with children. Because the presence we bring shapes everything. This starts with being intentional as we prepare for the start of the school year. One important question we often overlook is, have we actually considered the roles of the adults in the home space? I truly believe this is a conversation that every household must have. Because when we're clear on our purpose and our responsibilities, we feel calmer, more stable, more confident as the school year begins. So, talk about it. Talk about it in advance. Bring up those challenging questions like, who will drive the child to school tomorrow? Who will stay with them if they're having a hard time going into school? Who will prepare lunches in the morning? Who will offer encouragement if they need help getting dressed? Who will wake them up? That's very hard. Who will communicate with the teacher? Who will handle pickup? And the list can go on. But the point is to decide these things before that moment comes. Because in the moment, emotions can run high. Stress can spike. And uncertainty can ripple throughout the whole household. Trust me, I grew up in a house with 5 kids. It could be total chaos sometimes. When we have these roles clearly set ahead of time, we remove unnecessary stress. We create stability for ourselves and for the children. That calm clarity, that's what I would call true spiritual preparation for the adult. It's so important for the adult to be intentional on the first day of school. And what I mean by that is this: when you bring your child to school, you must set aside the time to help them transition if they need it. And we never know when they might need it. For many students, both new and returning, especially at the CASA level, that transition might require your presence, your patience, your calm role modeling. What's hard for the child is when a parent comes to school with them and they're stressed. They're rushed. They have to get to work. They're flustered about their schedule. They're unfamiliar with the school routine. And that stress, it doesn't stay with the adult. What happens? It spills over to the child. And that's not the fault of the child. That is not the fault of the school. I'm sorry. It's entirely within the control of the adult. Our goal always should be to set the child up for success. And that means approaching the first day with the time and space for them to settle in. It might mean having that difficult conversation with your employer ahead of time, letting them know that you might need some flexibility in case your child needs extra support transitioning, or you need to pick them up earlier than planned if they're struggling with that day. It's far better to have that conversation before the first day than to surprise your boss on the day and add workplace tension to what might already be an emotional morning. When you prepare in advance, both at home and at work, you give yourself that mental space to focus on your child, to stay calm, and to help them enter this important new chapter with confidence. And remember, if you're starting this first chapter, this CASA chapter, with confidence, every chapter that comes after it will be based off of this. It's a good start. As educators, we also need to remember to prepare our emotional selves. It's easy to feel a lot of anxiety at the start of the school year. Who will be in my classroom? Am I going to have challenging kids? Are they going to struggle with transitions? What will my relationships with families be like? Are they going to like me as an educator? How will the year go? And here's something we can't forget. Children sense our energy. If we walk in feeling tense, rushed, or unsettled, they will feel it too. I have learned this time and time again when, in the first years of my Montessori training, when I started out and I would have tough days and I'd escape to the bathroom and I would cry for a little while and I'd come back in and I would think, oh, I've got this covered. The kids will never know. And the children would go, Miss Lily, why are you crying? And I would be shocked. They always know. They sense our energy. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. One way to release some of that tension is to start building relationships before the first day of school. When I first started teaching, I spent 2 weeks before the school year doing home visits with all of my assistants. We would go to every student's house and spend 15 to 30 minutes visiting the family. If they didn't know us yet, we'd introduce ourselves. If they did and they were returning students, we'd spend some time asking them about their summer and fun things that they did and they wanted to share with the class. We always brought a book from the school library to every child, something that they could read at home and bring back on the first day. And having that simple object to share with them became a bridge between home and school. It became a conversational subject. It connected us. The visits were short, but you know, they made such a difference. And by the time the first day arrived, the children had already seen us in their own environment. Parents had shaken our hands, shared a conversation. They'd seen us take an interest in their child. That trust building, it had already begun. And trust, okay? Trust is at the heart of this work for both the parents and the child. Think about it. Families are handing their child over to you for a significant portion of their day. And naturally, they want to know, can I trust you? And that trust takes time to build. But when you start before the school year even begins, you actually remove some of that pressure and uncertainty that can weigh so heavily in those first weeks. So I always encourage teachers, take time to reflect on your own expectations and anxieties. Take time, if you can, to meet with your families. Take time to practice calm, positive language when talking about school. Because in the end, if you feel grounded and you feel confident, the children and their families are more likely to feel the same too. This is role modeling, and role modeling, it's a huge part of the learning that we do in Montessori environments. Something else. I always tell adults, if you're a parent who will be home during the day and this is your first child going off to school, make sure you have plans for yourself during those first few days or even weeks. Go to a bookstore and get those books that you've been waiting to get. Go to a coffee shop with a friend. Go to a yoga class. You need something to do too. If you don't, and you're already feeling a bit anxious, that anxiety will only be magnified as you sit at home watching the clock and waiting for pickup time to come around. The first few days can feel hard. Absolutely. But here's what I want you to know. Your child will thrive in this environment. Montessori classrooms are built for children. They are dedicated to helping them grow, explore, and discover their purpose. So while your child is finding their place in this new community, you also need to find your own purpose outside of being with them during the school day. And when you do find that purpose, it will give you a lot of joy. Every human wants to have purpose in the world. We've talked about trust. Now we need to talk about communication, because the two go together. It's very important for the adult educator preparing to step back into the classroom in September to remember the importance of developing healthy lines of communication with families. This can be a delicate balance. On one hand, we want to build trust by sharing lots of information about their child, especially in the beginning. But on the other, we need to set clear boundaries around our time so that communication remains sustainable. For new educators, this can be especially challenging. We want to prove ourselves. We want to make our presence known. We want to build confidence in our skills. And all of this takes trial and error. But without clear boundaries, burnout comes quickly. That's why it's so important to decide early. What are your office hours? When will you take calls or answer emails? How do you distinguish between everyday check-ins and genuine emergencies? Parents need that clarity. Here, I want to share something I learned from Dr. Marlene Barron again, something she called boo-boo calls. At the start of the year, if you call a parent for every tummy ache, scraped knee, sad heart, tearful day, you're showing that their child is safe, cared for, seen, and ultimately loved by you. These little boo-boo calls go a long way in establishing trust and good communication. Over time, as your relationship with the family deepens, parents no longer need so many of these calls because they know and believe and trust that you are taking care of their child. Thank you, Marlene, for this beautiful wisdom. It is something I have always practiced in my classroom, and it has served me well. So from the very beginning, establish the difference between when you'll do a quick reassurance call and when you'll make an urgent call. In doing so, you're building trust while also protecting your time and energy as an educator. Another area where boundaries become essential is around photos in the classroom. This can be a hot topic for educators today. Many schools now use applications like Brightwheel, Hi Mama, or Class Dojo, to name a few. And these do make it incredibly easy to send photos straight to parents and maintain that great line of communication. But while these platforms certainly support communication, they also feed into an unhealthy culture of instant updates that can quickly overwhelm teachers. Here's the key. If we begin the year sending lots of photos, we can't fault parents for expecting that high level of communication to continue. That's why, for our own mental health, we must be intentional about how, when, and how often we send photos. Decide early, before the school year starts, how many photos per week will you share, and at what time of day? Will you provide extra context, or will you leave space for parents to ask you directly about the photos? Clarity up front helps everyone, so make sure that you communicate all of this information right away with the parents. In my work with Montessori educators, I've always emphasized that our first focus must be the child. Our role is to observe and guide. Remember, Montessori is a science-based pedagogy. That means that our work is always based on the direct observation of the child. And so we as educators cannot be constantly behind a camera. When we become preoccupied with producing endless pictures, we risk losing sight of the child in front of us in order to please the parent.
Oh my.
And that tips the balance of the learning triangle. Everything must remain in harmony. Child, adult, and environment working together for the child's benefit. One practical approach is to rotate teachers for photo-taking duties. From the start of the term, one teacher takes a turn capturing a few meaningful moments each week. Families know they'll receive some photos, but with good communication, they will also come to understand that deeper feedback comes through portfolios, conferences, and importantly, through being welcomed into the classroom once children are settled. Because I believe that in a healthy Montessori classroom, parents should always be welcomed through reading days, volunteering opportunities, through cooking classes, whatever it might be. But parents should always be welcomed. It's just that for us as educators, our primary energy during the school day should belong to the children. And these clear boundaries protect us as educators. They protect the children, and they help parents understand our needs too. Because when we're healthy, everyone is healthy. For educators, the start of the year is also a big change and a lot of work. I believe it's just as important for us to make space for celebration as it is for the children. This is the moment we come together again as a community after the summer. I've seen some really beautiful examples on Instagram and Facebook and school websites of school directors or even lead teachers welcoming their teams back with these small, thoughtful gifts, like a notebook, a set of pencils, and a Montessori book that the school or the classroom is going to read together for a book club. It's beautiful.
Wow!
I absolutely am planning to do something like that because these gestures, they matter. They signal that we value and appreciate one another, and they set the tone for the months ahead. Plan something, educators, big or small, that celebrates the forming and strengthening of your community. Because those relationships between each other, between you and your team, you and your director, you and the people at your school will carry you through the school year. I recently listened to the podcast Voices in Montessori, put on by Greenspring Center for Lifelong Learning, and they hosted Catherine McTaminay, the author of the book The Tao of Montessori, and other wonderful texts that I always recommend to both new and seasoned educators in this field. This episode is well worth a listen, but I want to highlight my favorite part, which feels especially connected to what we've been talking about here. As Montessori educators, our practice begins with observation. When we step into the classroom at the start of the year, our greatest tool is not our words or our lessons. It's our ability to watch, to notice, and to understand the child. We observe in order to support them in their natural learning, to guide them when needed, and then to step back. McTominay spoke about how, ultimately, our work is to become invisible, to create the conditions for the child's growth without overshadowing them. And when we reflect on that, it's a profound reminder of why our connections with one another as adults matter so much. Because yes, our goal in the classroom is to step back for the child, but we cannot allow ourselves as adults to become invisible to each other. If we do, we risk feeling meaningless, isolated, and alone in our work. Education can sometimes feel like a solitary path, tucked away in the classroom. But at the start of the school year, more than ever, we need to remember that we belong to a community, a school. We need to support one another, lean on each other, and form those bonds that sustain us. Because in the end, our strength as educators doesn't just benefit us. It strengthens our schools, our colleagues, and most importantly, the children that we serve. So, as we wrap up this conversation on the preparation of the adult in the Montessori Learning Triangle, I want to leave you with this thought. The start of the school year is as much about our readiness as it is about the children's. When we as adults, whether parents, teachers, or assistants, enter this season with intention, clarity, and a grounded spirit, we create the conditions for trust, stability, and joy to flourish. Our work at the start of the year is to prepare ourselves emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually so that we can truly serve as the steady point in the child's experience. In our next and final episode of this set, we, and I mean I, Charlie, will turn to the third point of the Montessori Learning Triangle, and that's the prepared environment. And I'm going to explore how we must ready that space so that it fully supports both the child and the adult from the very first day. I want to thank you all again for listening and supporting me, and I look forward to welcoming you again for episode 3. Thanks everyone, and have a wonderful day. One last thing for all you listeners out there. I'd like to give a big shout out to Voices in Montessori podcast, hosted by Green Spring Center for Lifelong Learning. Their podcasts always give me great inspiration, and I did mention one of the podcasts with Catherine McTominay today, which I definitely would suggest you all listen to. If you'd like to dive deeper into this topic or connect with me directly, you can find me on Instagram at Miss Charlie Montessori, or you can connect with me by email at MissCharlieMontessori@gmail.com. I'd truly love to hear your feedback. If you're enjoying the podcast, leaving a review on your listening platform makes a big difference. It helps me improve and also guides where this podcast can go next. And if there are specific topics you'd like me to cover in the future, please share your ideas. I'm always open to new conversations. Thanks again so much for listening, and take care until next time.